Amen. Would you stand to your feet, if you would, with me? Let's begin with prayer. Let's also do it together. Instead of me just saying a prayer at the moment, let's take a few seconds. And I don't know where what you've been dealing with this week. I don't know what you have been fighting or celebrating, good, bad, or indifferent. I do know we're so glad to have you worship the Lord with us today, and I know that Jesus loves you very much. And so wherever you're at today, according to Proverbs 4, it says the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter, which tells me that your tomorrow should be better than your yesterday, amen? And so I want to challenge you. Let's take the next 30 seconds. I know we've been doing praise and worship. Let's just take the next 30 seconds, and let's just lift our hands if you want to lift your hands, get loud if you want to get loud, whatever you want to do. But let's begin to take 30 seconds and thank God for what he's going to do today in the house, all right? Out of your mouth. Tell them what you need. Tell them what you're believing for. Come on. Sometimes it's the longevity of our prayer that hinders us. Let it come from your heart. Let it don't come from a discipline or a requirement. You don't always need a pastor or a minister to lead you in prayer. Your biggest fights in life won't happen when you're in church. It'll be when you're in your hallway, walking back and forth, saying, God, I need you. I know you've given me victory. I know you've given me wisdom. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. He inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you today. We thank you. You are good. And there is none like you. We lift you up, Lord Jesus. We praise and magnify your name. And we decree and declare it right now in this moment that we set this moment aside. We sanctify it by the blood of Jesus. And we speak your will, Father God. Let the roar of heaven be heard in our ears today. Let the roar of heaven be seen in our eyes today. Let the roar of heaven be received in our heart today. We thank you, Father God, that you are speaking and revealing and demonstrating your goodness in and through the lives of your children. We worship you. We're grateful to you. We honor you. We thank you, Father God. You are good. There is none good like you. We lift up and praise your name. We lift up the name of Jesus. I just feel in my heart, someone, you just need to start praising the name of Jesus right where you're at. If you've been tormented by the devil, quit letting the devil hear you complain. Start praising Jesus. Out of your mouth, just say, I lift up the name of Jesus. I magnify the name of Jesus. I praise the name of Jesus. If you have a spiritual prayer language, you can do that too. I praise your name, Lord Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. It might be different for some of you. That's okay. Put it on the back burner. But I'm telling you, these are exercises you could do in the battles of life that brings victory to your life. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Too many times when the devil tries to poke you in life, in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief will come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So living for the Lord, being a good person, being a Christian, doing your best, doesn't mean that you're exempt from any attack of the enemy. But what will determine the effect of the result of that battle, many times will be not only what you do, but what you say. So the devil could be whispering in your mind and trying to change your perspective and your heart attitude. But if your mouth is closed, we hinder the victory that's available to us. Or yet, sometimes we open our mouth and begin to speak, and all we're saying is the negativity. We're reinforcing what the enemy's doing to us. We'll complain, and we think we're just looking for prayer requests. You really don't want people to pray. You're just looking to vent a little bit. Come on, we're all human. Right. Listen to me. Sympathy is nice. But sympathy is a dangerous drug to your emotions. There's some people, they live on sympathy so long that they don't want victory. They'd rather have the sympathy. They'd rather have people feeling sorry for them, and it's going to be okay, and I understand, and I don't know how you're making it, and all that. You think that's comforting you. That's putting you deeper in the pit. Sometimes we need men and women of God that we're close to, that love us, that know us, that can get in your face and say, wait a minute, I know what you're feeling and it looks bad, but I'm here to speak to not just with your circumstances, but to the inside person and tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than a conqueror. You can make this. You can win. You can win this battle. And cause that the victorious person on the inside of you to rise up big within you. Because Jesus is on the inside. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And so how we respond many times dictates where we're going to get in this situation. Are you going to live in the defeat? Are you going to spend years with the battle? Or are you going to come out ahead? And I'm here to tell you that by the word of God and the truth and the power of the Spirit of God, no matter what the battle is, you can, and it's designed for you to come out ahead. But listen to me. God didn't call you to come out ahead so you go back to where you used to be. God called you to go to come out ahead and be ahead than you used to be. David said when he was before he faced Goliath, not only is there a cause, he wanted to know what is the reward. Jesus said it this way, a strong man is safe and secure in all his deeds until a stronger one shows up. And then he can not only bind them, he can take his possessions. What am I telling you? When the devil begins to poke you with a stick, you can cry, you can complain, or you can get back in the word and begin to speak the word of God. And with the attitude of, he's going to lose, I've already won because I am who God says I am. And all of a sudden, I can do what God says I can do. And don't worry about your emotions. They'll come and they'll change. Some days you'll feel on top of the world. Sometimes you'll feel the world's on top of you. But either way, your feelings do not make the difference. The word of God is the final authority. Psalms 119, he has elevated his word above his name. And when you begin to say, I am not only victorious in this, but I'm going to come out ahead. I'm going to be better. I'm going to have more. I'm going to be living at a different level. Because you don't go to battles without a victory. Nobody goes to war without an expectation of plunder. Nobody goes to battle without an expectation of plunder. And when you have that attitude, you'll start waking up and saying, where is the devil? Because I'm looking for a good fight. I need an increase in my life. Come on, somebody. When the devil begins to poke you, you won't be like, why me? Have some mercy. You'd be like, it's about time. I'm looking for a good fight. You know, they say there's three different types of people. Those who will fight, those who won't fight, and those looking for a fight. Now, I'm not encouraging you to look for a fight in the natural, but I'm in the spirit realm. I think we need to live in the strength of God. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. If you agree with any of this, you can shout amen. That's okay. We're not Presbyterian around here. Amen. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It didn't say feel strong. It said be strong. It said, be strong. And I believe we can live with the strength of God. That's why the Bible tells us that we can be strengthened with might in our inner man by the Spirit of God. You can walk around feeling emotionally low, but on the inside, no, spiritually, you're strong. You are well able. You are well capable. Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. That word arise in the Hebrew literally means to not only reposition yourself, but to perform the duty required, to begin to move. It's not a matter of, oh, I'm trying to feel a little better. Too many Christians are just trying to feel a little better. Too many Christians are looking for an emotional pump up. Oh, I go through the week. It's a hard week. I can't wait to get to church so I can feel a little encouragement. You don't need a little encouragement. You need a reality check of who you are in God. Can I get an amen? Who you are in Christ. You are strong. You have an assignment. You are strong. You have a purpose. You are strong. You have something to do. You are strong. Don't stay in the position of weakness. Rise up and be who God's called you to be. Can I get a better amen than that? If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise for 30 seconds. A lot of times in our Christian life, and you're like, well, I'm not a full-time minister. It doesn't matter if you're a full-time called minister. You're called of God.
Amen.
But what's important is not your calling that gives you strength. It's your connection to him that gives you strength.
Yes.
I don't care who you are. There's a lot of full-time ministers that are weak spiritually.
Right.
They might be famous. They might have money. They might have organizations, but spiritually they're weak.
Right.
So appearance does not define it. God told the prophet Samuel, you're looking to the flesh. I look to the heart.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what your destiny or your assignment is. You can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Amen.
That's not an emotional thing. That's a spiritual thing. And we're going to get into that. Because too many times when people are poked by the devil, they cry. They ask for pity. They ask for mercy. Listen to me. The devil doesn't play fair.
Right.
And anybody he's hurting, he's not going to say, well, that's enough. You have to be strong.
Yes.
You have to rise up
yes.
and take what rightfully belongs to you.
Amen.
We don't need to cry. We need to be who Jesus called us to be. The Bible tells us that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And if you're saved, you're in Christ. You're the brother or sister of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And if you're a brother of a lion, what does that make you? A lion. Come on, talk to me, church. It makes you what?
Lion.
Shout, I'm a lion.
Lion.
What am I trying to do? I feel part of my assignment today. I don't know if this is for everybody, but I believe it's available for everybody. My assignment for you today is when you walk out of this building that you are reacquainted, that you have a roar that belongs to you. We're going to bring back the roar to the house of God. We need to bring back the roar. I'm tired of seeing Christians acting like they have no authority, no power, and walk in weakness and let evil people dictate the destiny. No, only God and God alone should dictate your destiny. Hell or high water, you got to be able to stand against the fiery furnace, a lion's den, and a decree, and begin to let the devil know he can't stop you from being who God called you to be. You are a lion from the tribe of Judah, and you have a roar. And the Bible tells us that a lion turns away from nobody. Sometimes in the Christian world, we're like, oh, I'm trying to be led by the Spirit. No, you're not being led by the Spirit. Many times you're led by the place of least resistance. You're going to what's the easiest, the less resistance. That's not the anointing of God. That's not leading the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm just being led by God. No, you're looking for the place that people just prop you up emotionally. You don't need to be propped up emotionally, because if you're propped up emotionally, that's a stick that can be easily removed by the enemy. And then you fall down strong emotionally and you think, oh God, where are you? Oh God, why did you? He never left you. He never forsaken you. You have thought you were building on faith. You were building on fluff. And then you think, oh, this is a sad time. No, this is an awakening time. This is a good time, because there's a greater level. There's a different level. You don't have to be built up on feelings and emotions and fluff. You can be built up on the Word of God. And hell or high water, good day, bad day, sunny or darkness, cold or hot, they close the lanes, they open the lanes. It don't matter. You are a child of God, and you have a roar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Last week, we started a series called The Roar of Heaven. And we're looking at the context of Jesus. In last week's message, we talked about from the cross, he said, it is finished. And we looked at, if you don't know what he started, you don't know what is finished.
Right.
A lot of Christians walk around without the understanding of who they are, their identity in Christ, and their privilege and rights as a child of God.
Yes.
You don't know it, and that sounds interesting, make sure you watch the video. Amen.
Amen.
But today I want to look at another verse. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, King James translation, saying, all power, say all power.
All power.
Notice this, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. This is after the resurrection. This is after he died and paid the price. This is after he went into the grave, but also into the tomb, the pit of in the center of the earth, which is hell. How do I know it's the center of the earth? Because Jesus said it. Just as Noah went into the belly of a whale, so the Son of Man will go into the belly, the heart of the earth. He went into hell. What did he do? He didn't go to be tormented and tortured. No, he went in to demonstrate the authority of heaven and come in and say, devil, the price has been paid. Adam's given you the authority. I'm taking back the authority. Adam gave you the keys. I'm taking back the keys. That's why he said, and King James says power, but a better translation, the Greek, is literally authority, because God is all powerful. So most people don't understand the difference between power and authority. One's the ability to do it. The other's the right to exercise that ability. You might be a good husband, but don't husband my wife. You might be a good father, don't father my children.
That's right.
You might have the ability, but not the authority.
Right.
The reason you might say, why hasn't God done something about that? Because he has delegated to man, to Adam, to humanity, the earth, with the right of the earth. When he created Adam, he didn't say, I'm going to give Adam part of the authority. He said, we're going to give Adam the authority over this place.
Right.
So the authority gave to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil.
Right.
That's why God just couldn't intervene. Why? Because he had already established through his word how the system would be.
Yep.
I like to think of it this way. The earth is under a lease. Have you ever leased a car? You go and you show it, you drive it, you shine it, you clean it, you tell everybody, this is my car, but it really isn't. It belongs to the leasing company.
Right.
And one day the leasing company wants it back. That's where people say, well, the Bible says the earth is the Lord. It is the Lord's, but he's leased it out. He's leased it out. Well, it's getting quiet around here. Some of you act like you haven't heard this before. He's leased it out to Adam. Adam gave it to the devil. That's why God couldn't intervene, because it would be subverting the authority of what he already established. And he has elevated Psalms 119, his word, above his name, which means he will not go against what he's already said. But that's why Matthew 24, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour but the Father. And the Father is going to wrap this thing up. He's going to complete. What is he doing? He's going to call in. The earth is now, it's always been mine, but the lease is up. That's why the demons, when Jesus would walk, check it out. Don't take my word for anything. Challenge it. That's why the demons, when Jesus would be ministering on the earth, they would come and say, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? What do they mean, the time? They understand that their time is limited, and that the earth is under a lease. So they're trying to get as many people that God created in his image, that God planned to fellowship with, that God planned to give his inheritance to, that God planned to bless, that God planned to bring into heaven. All those God had good plans for, they're trying to corrupt it, to get them to follow the devil and not God. Because hell wasn't made for people. Hell was made for the devil. Right. The lake of fire was the final judgment of the devil and those who reject Jesus. So good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And so the earth is the lease. That's the authority side of it. And what did Jesus do? He always had power, but he always operated with the confines of his own word.
Yes.
And so when he was resurrected, he said, now all authority is given back to me.
Yes.
Now you go in my name. He's reestablishing the authority. God's always had the power, but he can't exercise where there's not authority. That's why in any miracle, some of you are looking at, I'm going to keep talking until we get it and we move on. If you get excited, I'll move on. That's why in every miracle, and even to this day, when Jesus would do a miracle, he would ask them to do something.
Yeah.
Man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. Martha, Mary, remove the stone. Now, Jesus didn't need them to remove the stone to get the stone removed.
Right.
Because at the resurrection, an angel did it.
Right?
So why did Jesus ask them to remove the stone? Because their obedience to the instruction gave him permission to step into this situation.
Yes.
That's why God, even in giving, we're not taking up an offering, it's behind you. That's why God will tell you to sow before you reap.
Yep.
You're like, how's this going to help? It's not helping make the miracle, it's giving God permission to step into your situation.
Come on.
And do the miracle. And so that's the authority. God's given us authority. He wouldn't override the authority. Now he says, I have the authority in heaven and earth. Now you go. You have a right. You have a right. But one day, it'll all be wrapped up. We learned last week that when Jesus was reading out in Isaiah, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And if you go, he stopped it in chapter 61. He stopped before the vengeance of the Lord. He said one of the things he was doing is proclaiming the goodness, the favor of God. And then he stopped. He rolled up, he put the book away or the scroll, he rolled it up and handed it to the minister and said, this day, this scripture, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your eye. And he sat down. And they all looked. Why did he sit down? He sat in the chair of the Messiah. But he stopped before the judgment of God. Why? Because he came. Before he was coming to bring judgment, he was coming to bring mercy.
Amen.
That's why there's two Messiahs. Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David. One was the suffering servant that was bringing mercy. One was the reigning king that was bringing judgment. So one the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, comes to Bethlehem. Can you believe it? Before he even showed up, before he was born in Bethlehem, it was prophesied hundreds of years before.
Yes, indeed.
One prophesied that the Messiah had come through Bethlehem, and one prophesied he'd come through the clouds, in the clouds. What is it saying? They're both going to happen. They were looking for King David. Is it time to set up your kingdom? Is it time to destroy Rome? Is it time to conquer and we can have great positions? They didn't understand that he wasn't coming as the ruler at the time. He was coming because he could have brought judgment, but he wanted to bring mercy. My God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who starts this and will complete this. He is the one who's given you the opportunity. We are in the season of mercy. Does that mean you can do anything you want and get away with it? No. Romans 6 is very specific. Does the freedom you've received allow you to go back and live in sin? And Paul says it this way, God forbid. I don't know how you read that. My interpretation is, absolutely not. And so if you go back and sin, you become a prisoner by choice of your sin. But God tells us, no, you are in a season of mercy and grace where people can get right. You can get right. You can get right. If you're not right with God today, today is your day. You can be right with God.
Amen.
Can I get a better amen than that?
Amen.
Jesus not only regained the authority, but he gave it to us. Matthew 16:9. Whatever the keys of the kingdom, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. It's exercising the power and the authority that God's given you. That which helped, let me balance this out. It doesn't mean that you have authority over every person. I see a lot of Christians make that mistake. They begin to understand that the prayers can be answered, and they begin to see that God's given them authority, and they begin to step into other people's authority that's not theirs and try to exercise it. And all they do is make a mess. You don't go into your neighbor's house and start making orders. We're going to change everything around here. Who are you as the police are showing up? Why? Because you don't have authority there. I'm a prophet, apostle, pastor, 17 other different titles. You better do what I say or God will judge you. Well, let's see. Is it in the Word? Not what you're saying. 2, I don't know you. You don't have authority here. I had a guy show up, I've told this story before, many years ago at the other location, and he walked in, and I heard him say to people, yeah, where's the pastor? Listen, do you love me? If anybody comes up to you and says, where's the pastor? Don't point to me at church, and just don't point to me. They're up to something, but just I don't know. He must not be around. I don't know what you have to tell him. Don't lie, but just don't point to me. I was walking through the office, and our secretary, someone said, hey, is there a pastor here? Oh, here he comes. I'm like, don't point me out in the middle. And so sure enough, so he walked in. Where's the pastor at? And they said, oh, there he is. Well, I was like, why did you do that? So anyway, before service, he walked up to me, and he said, hello, are you the pastor? And I said, I am. And he said, I'm prophet. He said his name, whatever it is. I don't remember. Neither do I care at the moment. And he said, I'm prophet so-and-so. And he said, the Lord gave me a message to come preach to your people. I just want to make sure it's okay for me to take the platform. Well, that almost sounds pretty, I mean, nobody wants to fight against God. And I looked at him and said, well, listen, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me you were coming. I don't know you from anybody, and you're not getting near my pulpit, but we are so glad to have you with us today. We can't be just tolerant of every idea. There is a tactic of the enemy, the Bible says, that he will come as an angel of light. I don't care. Listen, I don't care if they are a true prophet or apostle, evangelist. I'm not saying judge everything the Bible says. That's why we're teaching that culture around here. Don't be gullible. If you're gullible and someone asks you what church you go to, I'll give you a list of churches to tell them. Don't mention Hope. You don't need to buy into every idea that comes down. Challenge everything with the Word of God.
Amen.
Be open for God to speak to you, not everybody. James says, every wind of doctrine knocking you around, that's a sign of immaturity. You're not going to get anything from God.
Right.
Challenge everything I say. Challenge everything anybody says that impacts your spiritual walk with God in eternity, and challenge it with the Word of God. Is this really in the Bible? I want that in your life. It's okay. Well, Pastor, they're famous. I don't care how famous they are. Challenge everything. The Bible tells us, challenge the spirits of the prophets. Challenge everything with the Word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So today I want to talk about, have you lost your roar? Have you lost your roar? Heaven is speaking, but God's people tend to be quiet. Have we lost our roar? And how do we find it again? And I understand, the tactic of the enemy is he wants to get where you don't have authority or power, where you're not doing or saying anything, you're not praying. And I'm not saying look for voices. Please don't misunderstand me. People, Christians that are looking for God to speak and they're looking for a voice, the devil many times will confuse them. You say, well, I've heard people say God's has spoken to him, and God has spoken to me, but it doesn't mean I wake up hearing voices, and I don't look for voices. Because he's not speaking to my head, he's speaking to my spirit. I don't understand, and that's why you shouldn't look for voices.
Right.
What you should do, you should start looking to the Word, because if you can't spend time in the Word and obey the written Word of God, you'll never obey the revealed spoken Word of God to your heart. You got to grow in this. We got to move past just the emotional hype. It's almost like a sugar. It's like going into a kindergarten class and giving them all sugar and getting them hyped up and thinking you've done something. It's got to be more than the sugar, because eventually the sugar crash is coming.
Right.
I used to do that with my nephews and nieces. They're all adults now, but I would load them down with sugar. They were over at the house and my parents were watching them. By the time they were going home, they were so hyped. They were bouncing, they were singing, they were dancing. I thought it was fun, but I didn't have to deal with the consequences. You know, a lot of times in the church world, pastors will, as preachers will, and don't misunderstand, everything is a balance. We need you to respond because it's a spiritual benefit for you. If you don't respond to the Word of God, it's a part of mixing your faith with it. Well, I'm just listening. No, you need to have some type of response. The Bible says that the Word of God did not produce any effect because they did not mix their faith with it. It's to your personal benefit at your level. Don't match anybody else. But you need to respond to the Word of God. Some of you are so loud and outgoing, you'll spin around the building three times at a fast pace and no one will even stop you or see you. And that's okay. Some of you and you think the earth just kind of shook on that one. Some are real quiet. But respond, amen?
Right.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
But if we're not careful, we'll take a good principle and take it outside. And some pastors, all they want is a sugar high response. They don't care if the word's gone forth. Because you need to be taught. We need to be instructed. But there's a spiritual side of being an impartation. There's two things going on right now at this moment you might not see in the natural, but God knows and operated and created the system. And so you need to respond. But the goal is not to get everybody up into a frenzy of emotional response and then say, ooh, that was a good service. Well, if they get done and they're flying high but walk out on Monday and they're now laying there in the street spiritually dead and beaten up, something's wrong.
Right.
You're to be built up in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And the devil's tactic, he'll use sin, my friend, the tactic of the devil is to get you to sin, not to have a good time. He's literally trying to disconnect you from God and his power.
Right.
Find me a person who goes to church and living in sin. I'll show you someone who has a low self-image, because the devil's tactic is to defeat and destroy your self-image.
Yes.
Oh, I'm nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's the lie of the devil.
Yes.
1 John 1:9. That when you repent and confess your sins, repent, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from
all sin. Righteousness.
He's going to cleanse you. He forgives you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
How much? A double L. What is that?
All.
A double L is what?
All.
Shout all.
All.
So you're not a sinner saved by grace. If you are, then you're making Jesus a liar. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I don't want to say that. I didn't say that. I said it. God said it.
Right.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. Don't argue with me. Argue with the Bible.
Right.
When we sin, we just need to repent. 1 John 1:9. Life experiences might knock you down. What do you do? We need to learn to forgive. Philippians 3. Forgetting those things which are behind, press toward the mark. This is not an easy, I'll just do it, but it can be done. You got to let that weight go. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and run the race, the Bible says, that's set before us. Some of us have been exposed to bad doctrine, sometimes by good people. But that's why we need to spend time in the Word, Romans 12:2, and not be conformed to the world or even a church religious world, but into the Word of God. That's why I say I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God, but a real relationship.
Amen.
I'm into a real relationship with the Word of God. Man, you might have 12 accountability partners. Listen to me. Accountability partners are good, but they're not the end thing.
Right.
Because if you'll lie to your spouse that you're not having an affair, lying to your accountability partner means no big deal.
Right.
But you want to know who you can't lie to? The Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And if you keep your spirit sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he will let you know when you're out of step.
Right.
You ought to pray, Lord, before I get out of step, just show me. Let me be so sensitive that I know what I've messed up. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit knows how to convict.
Yes.
Of sin. I'd rather have you mad at me for a year than have the Holy Spirit on my case for 30 minutes. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit's convicting you, now at a certain point, you can keep telling him no, and no, and no, and no, and he's gracious enough that he's just going to leave you alone.
Yep.
And then you don't even feel any conviction. And that's not a safe place, that's a dangerous place. It's not living in torment, but it's living in, okay, I got to check in my spirit. Something's not right. I don't want to do that because I want to do what God wants me to do.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
And lack of knowledge. That's why you spend time in the Word. Psalms 119, the entrance, the unfolding, one translation of His Word. It gives us light. It gives understanding.
Amen.
Lord, I just need understanding. Don't make it complicated. Make it simple for me.
Yes.
It's okay to say that. I was talking to somebody recently. I said, listen, don't make it difficult. If the Lord, this is one of my prayers that I pray on a regular basis. If there's something and I'm at a crossroad and I don't know what to do, I'll just say, Lord, you show me what to do and I'll do it. Make it clear to me so I know that it's you and not my emotions or pressure, because I don't need to do something because someone's forcing me to do it. I don't need to do something because I'm emotionally pulled to do it. I need to do something because you're showing me to do it.
Amen.
To do, not to do, change, whatever. You show me, you make it clear to me, Lord, and I'll do it.
Amen.
And then I put it on the back shelf and I don't think about it. And I let God in time. Why should I stress about it? What He wants me to do, He'll show me.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Finding your roar, Matthew chapter 8. Let me go into this. We won't look at this verse on the screen, but let me give you the context. Matthew chapter 8. A centurion soldier approached Jesus one day and said, my servant, my child is sick. And Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house. Do you remember this story?
Yeah.
Write it down. Challenge it later if you haven't. So Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house. Wouldn't that be cool? Can you imagine living in that time that you could say, Ivy, come on. Some of you are striving for the certain car to leave out. You have a garage, but you park it outside so all your neighbors know that you just got that new car. Can you imagine? You would be the talk of the town. Jesus came to your house.
Yeah.
Woo, think of the benefits. A lot of times people just want the accolades that Jesus showed up. They don't really want Jesus in their life. They just want the appearance, but we'll move on. And he said, Lord, I'm not even deserving that you come to my house. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed.
Yes.
And he goes on to say, I'm a man under authority, a man over authority, and I say to one, come, and he comes, and to another, go, and he goes. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel. Jesus called it faith. That man said, I am under authority, and I'm over authority. He understood kingdom authority, rule and rank. Everybody's the same. Jesus loves everybody the same, but not everybody's the same.
Amen.
Right.
Not everybody's the same. There's levels in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Jesus we know, Paul we know. Who are you? Said the demon-possessed man. When a person thought, ooh, I'll try this out. And I brought this out a few weeks ago. If you're around anybody or know anybody who's been in the military, or maybe you've been in the military, one thing that I noticed that is, I would consider a bad translation in this, is that he says, I say to some, come, and I say to others, go. I haven't seen or heard of any military structure where those in authority are suggesting anything, and that's how we read it. Right? Well, they don't bark out suggestions. Come on, everybody. Exercise time. If you want to come, come out. They don't do that. What do? They bark an order.
Right.
It's a command. Say command.
Command.
We lose that in the kingdom because, and this is not about people barking at you. That's where people get messed up. They try to bark at other people and you get all kinds of things messed up because God didn't put you authority over the will of somebody else. But we're talking about the spiritual things behind the scene that brings change into your life. And so when the enemy's trying to come against you in any way, shape, or form, anything that's out of alignment of the Word of God, you have a right and authority over that.
Amen.
In your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen?
And so the military don't suggest. They don't even say it. Let's be real. They bark it. It's an order. It's a command. That if you don't do it, there's great consequences. There are great consequences to ignoring a command. Why didn't you get up? Oh, I chose not to today. It's a command. I'm a man under authority. I'm a man over authority. Now, where does the person get the command? Somebody greater. They understand the system, and they operate within the system of somebody that was greater. And if you don't obey, there's great consequences for ignoring a command.
Right.
Don't you understand that when you understand the anointing and the authority you have in Jesus, that even if a demon showed up and started manifesting somewhere, that if it disobeyed the command of heaven, there are great consequences.
Right.
Jude tells us that those who disobey the command are held in prison, chains of darkness, until the judgment. Now, this is not, there's a demon under every rock, so don't get weird. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be weird. But I'm wanting to explain the power of the authority of God's word in your mouth. You have a roar. Say, I have a roar.
I have a roar.
Speak the word only. Jesus called it faith. It's a command of authority. The power of a command is found in the authority of the origin, if you're taking notes. The power of a command is found in the authority of the origin. Someone comes to you and walks into your office or to your work and says, you need to stop and move over there, and you don't know who they are, what are you going to do? Who are you?
Right.
Well, I'm so-and-so. Who are you in the organization?
Right.
Now, if they came to you and said, the president of the company sent me to tell you,
right. That's
a different story, right? Because now they're demonstrating that they aren't the authority. They are just in the line of authority. They're the voice of the authority. There's a higher authority that's saying, you need to do this and move over here. And at that point, you'd be like, oh, okay, I'll do it. Not because you know the person, not because you respect the person, not because you think they have authority, but they are voicing the authority of someone greater. The power of a command is based on their origin. Who's the authority of the person that said it? So when you begin to understand the power of God in your mouth, and it's just not parroting, and we'll get to that in a few seconds, but the power of God's word in your mouth, when the devil sees it or hears it, he recognizes it when it's done by the roar of heaven, that it's not you, you're just allowing God to work through you, and it's a command from heaven. There is a roar that God has, and when he speaks it, the Bible says it sounds like the waters of many waters, the roar of many waters. It will make mountains tremble. Listen, the reason some people don't know how big God is because they haven't been open to pursue him. But as long as you pursue him, you'll get to know him better. But I want you to know, you can pursue him your whole life, and you will never get to the end to understand the magnitude, the goodness, the power, the ability, the love of the God we worship and serve. He's so big. He's so big. He's so big that the psalmist said he shrouds himself in obscurity. Why? Because casual onlookers have no right to know him.
Yes, indeed.
Out of his mercy, he will touch the hearts of people to convict them. And if they'll respond, he'll begin to reveal himself and they begin to experience him. The casual, I've never really, it's because you're not hungry enough. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled.
Yeah.
The power of the command is found in the authority of the origin. Jesus said it this way, John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority. John chapter 12. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. Notice what he's saying here. And this is not the only time. Jesus is saying, hey, the works that I'm doing, it's not me, it's the Father doing the works. The things I'm saying, they're not my words. It's not my will, it's his will. It's his words. What was he doing? He was saying, I have come to represent humanity in this situation, and I've been birthed into the flesh, but I want you to understand that I'm not working by divinity, I'm working by humanity, and I have to submit myself to the authority of the Father and say what he is saying.
Amen.
See, as long as you're trying to submit to the authority of your emotions, as long as you try to submit to the authority of the peer pressure, as long as you are trying to submit just to the authority of, listen to me, find a balance, as long as you're just trying to submit to the authority of your spouse, what if your spouse, what if the trend, what if the peer pressure, what if your emotions are telling you wrong? If you want power, you have to know what position of rank you're under. What are you doing and why you're doing it? Oh, because everybody's doing it. Not good enough. Why are you saying that? Because they tell me I should say it. Not good enough. It's parroting the word that will not give you any power.
Right.
You have to have more than just, I'm just saying it. Now, in the process of faith, faith comes by hearing. And so saying at least gets you in the beginning phases of it. Right. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. But most Christians, we've heard that and we've stuck with it and we've never gone any farther with that. Because we thought the goal was just for us to hear ourselves speak the word so that our faith could be encouraged and built up. And that's partly true, but the journey's not over. The journey's not over until the fruit is fulfilled. The journey's not over until the tree has produced the fruit in full. John 15, verse 17 and 16, the journey's not over, and that's what gives glory to your Father, that you produce much fruit. People can know the tree by the bark. I don't know the tree. I can only know by a tree and identify it by its fruit. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit, what your life is producing. So you might be encouraged all the way up to being giggly and bubbly. Good for you. But if there's no fruit being produced, something's wrong. Jesus, if it was all about that, Jesus could have sat in his house and just been happy, good old time, just him. But no, he went around. He was looking for the opportunity. For this reason, the Bible says, was Jesus manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come just to feel good about his day. He didn't come just to have his self-image built up. No, he came to do a purpose. He had an assignment. I was talking to one minister once, and he was like, you know what? I've been doing ministry, and I don't even need to do that anymore. I'm in a good place with myself. I don't need to minister. And my thought was, what do you mean you're a good place with yourself? How do you get to a good place to yourself that you're not ministering anymore?
Right.
That means that you're ministering out of your own hurt. And praise God that you're ministering while you're hurt. But if the only reason you're ministering is to build yourself up emotionally, or and so people can say, oh, that was really good, something's wrong. We don't minister for our benefit, though there is a benefit to ministering. We should benefit with the isolation of priority that it's about ministering and doing what the Father wants us to do to help people in their life and their journey. We're here for people. I walked away saying, what in the world is he thinking? How silly is that? Oh, I don't need that anymore. Yes, you do. You need to obey the will of the Father. If you're called
yes.
to do something, you're called to do something.
Yes.
It's getting quiet. Is the buffet open? Almost. I remember years ago, I got this little dog. One day I'm going to get me a huge, giant, 200-pound pit bull. But right now, I got this little dog. It's been with us like 14 years. And the way I got it is my wife and I and my daughter, who's about 2 years old at the time, we were on our way to have dinner with a member of the family, Bob and Glenda Pace. And so we were early, and we thought, let's stop at the mall, and we were walking the mall. And in those days, this mall had little pet stores. And you could go in, and you could get a dog and play with the dog. And so we were letting Logan do that to kill time so he'd have fun. And the manager was walking around this little bitty dog. I mean, it was small. Literally fit in your hand. It was small. And I guess he was watching us and saw it was a family dynamic and a little kid. And so she walked over and said, you want to play with this one? And so Logan played with it. And the lady came over to me and said, I'll make you a great deal. Working me. Yeah, I'll throw in, we'll discount it, I'll throw in this and throw in that. And I'm like, well, I appreciate it, but you know, let me think about it. And so Logan played with the little dog for a while, and then we gave the dog back and we left. And she's like, Daddy, can I have it? And I'm like, no, let's just, we're going somewhere. We don't want to deal with this right now. And so we're walking around the mall, and we happen to come back around. I should never have come back around, but it's a good thing now. But I just had an epiphany. That was my mistake at that moment. I came back around. What was I thinking? And we didn't even go into the store. We just walked by the store, and the lady saw us, and she came out into the mall and handed that dog to my daughter. And I'm like, what is she doing? And I look over, and as I look to see the situation unfolding, my little two-year-old's holding this little dog. And I mean, it's small. And she looked up to me and said, Daddy, please. What do you do that? I mean, you can't be the worst dad in the world with that. And I looked to my wife for support and strength, and she said, Honey, come on, please. Sold me, threw me under the bus now. I said, okay, whatever, sure, anything you want. So that's how that all started. So we bought the dog. Long story short, this was a real small dog. And it did, people, you know, usually when you get a dog the first night, it does what? It's barking and yapping all night, it's nervous. This dog had a little crate, went in its crate, slept all night, didn't make a noise. Oh, this is nice, second night, same way. We had family that also, friends of ours that got a puppy, and they're like, man, this dog's keeping me up. How are you guys doing? Oh, dog's sleeping well, not making noise. But we didn't realize it. It didn't realize it had a bark. It didn't know how to bark yet. I've never seen this in a dog. I don't know if this is a weird one-off thing or if this is like, this is all for dogs. It didn't know it had a bark. It was good for us. It slept. We slept, or at least. I don't know what it was doing in his cage. It might have been bouncing around. I don't know. We were sleeping well. But one day, it barked. It scared itself with its own bark. It barked, and it was like, oh my goodness, where'd that come from? And it just, the release of its bark, it discovered it had a bark, and now it got, some of you catching where I'm going. And all of a sudden, it began to start barking all the time. And sometimes Christians are like that. We're walking around, we don't realize we have a bark. You have a voice. We're calling it the roar of heaven. You have a sound on the inside of you. And when you begin to step into this, and if you're not there, that's okay, we're growing. When you step into this, you know what's going to happen? It might shock you at first. Whoa, it really happened. Wow, this really works. This is kind of cool. And you begin to exercise that authority that God's given you. That doesn't mean you have to go to every neighbor and every person and brag on it. That doesn't mean you have to tell everybody. That doesn't mean that, because good people, even good people aren't always happy when you're happy. You just got to realize it is what it is. And that doesn't mean that you go around barking everywhere. And that's where some Christians are. They discover they have a bark, and now they're barking everywhere. And they go to their work, and they get fired, and they blame the devil. It wasn't the devil. They go and tell their boss, you better give me a raise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you're going to give me a raise. Who are you? So you don't bark everywhere, but you have a bark. You have an authority. Can I get an amen? And when you get, where does that authority, that power come out of? It comes out of Revelation, Hebrews, last verse. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Stay with me in the next 5 minutes. He upholds all things by the word. Now, other translations will say the power of his word, and it's wrong. It's the word of his power. You say, well, we back God. You would think power of his word, which means that when he speaks it, his power backs it. That would how our logical mind would work. But that's not how it works. Because his power is backed by his word. Let me think about that. Let me turn that around a little bit. When God speaks in the Old Testament, it's literally a compound Hebrew word, two words. One's a noun, one's a verb. Because when he speaks it, it becomes it automatically. Yes. So the power's not back in his word. The word's back in his power. They're so synonymous here. That's good. We're going a little deep. How did I better explain that? Well, when he decided to save humanity, he didn't send his power. He sent his... He sent his word and healed them. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He sent his Word.
Yes, indeed.
And when the Word and the Spirit are in unity, he said to him, no man takes my life. I lay it down. Don't you realize I could ask the Father, and he would send? One angel could kill 1,000 soldiers plus. It was done. I figured out mathematically based on what the expectation of a legion would be. And I came out, 72,000 angels. Jesus, I mean, one angel could wipe out pretty much all humanity. And Jesus saying, don't you realize that I have overkill power? I not ask for one angel. I could ask for 72,000 angels. And the Father would give them to me. Could you only imagine? I would almost like to be there with a YouTube camera. Come on, somebody. I mean, the effect would be not the cross, and that would be a bad thing, but wouldn't it be cool? The Roman soldiers are acting tough, and Jesus finally say, that's enough. And all of a sudden, 72,000 angels show up. See, now you have to pray for me. I like watching movies, and I don't mind watching, my wife gets on me, I don't mind watching bad people get their due. I don't like movies, the innocent people, that's not right. Children, that's not right. But when you got a bad person on the screen, they need to get the paybacks, right? I don't mind that. That would have been so cool. 72,000 angels. Smack. It'd be like in the Hulk movie. He'd pick them up by the feet. Bam, 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 bam. That's how much authority and power he had. No man takes my life. I lay it down. I choose. I have so much overkill power. You got billions of dollars, and your child says, can I have this $3 sucker? Are you kidding? I'll buy the store. God has so much more by the word of his power. What's my point in this? The presence of, if you're taking notes, the presence of the revelation is evidence of the power. Listen to me, and we're closing. The presence of the revelation is the evidence of the power. Faith is, Hebrews 11, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it, but you know it. How do I know it? I have revelation of it. Revelation is just not something that you can understand in your mind and say, oh, I've read it. Revelation comes by the Spirit of God. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you. The Spirit of God reveals them to us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man. The things that God, the Bible says, the things that God has prepared for us, but he reveals them to us by his Spirit. And so when the word is revealed to your spirit person, you have revelation, it comes alive. That's why you can't talk somebody into following God. You can mentally argue them to a point, but that doesn't mean they're going to get saved. It's a heart revelation. It's a heart experience. That's why you can't mentally talk to people about, oh, you, God still heals. It's a heart revelation. And when you get the heart revelation, it changes. When you get the heart revelation that you're not called to be poor, you're called to be blessed. Well, I don't think Christians should be blessed. Are you kidding me? Right. In America? If you slept on a pillow last night and have two pairs of shoes, you are now, right now, in the top 8% of the world's income. We thought being blessed was Kardashian silliness. And sure, there's going to be people that screw it up and mess it up and make it weird. But if you're an American, you're blessed. That's why America, historically, not all the time, but historically, has been one of the greatest givers to the world in missions. Because if you don't have it, you can't give it. But if you don't have a revelation in your heart, it doesn't make sense. That's why we challenge you, get in the word about giving and sowing and reaping and tithes and offerings and get the revelation. No pressure from us to do it, but when you get the revelation, you can't stop people from obeying God because they begin to see it works. The peace of God, the joy of God, the strength of God, it's the heart. When you get the revelation, the presence of the revelation is evidence you have the power. So the moment you have the revelation, it's not a, oh, God, thank you, now empower me. You already have the power. Amen. He upholds all things by the power of his word.
Yes.
So you get a revelation about being blessed, now you are empowered to be blessed. You get a revelation that you can live in the joy of the Lord, you have power. The power comes from the revelation. People don't want the revelation because that takes a process of spending time and soaking your mind and your heart in the word of God and trusting the Holy Spirit to reveal it. They just want the demonstration of God's power. God do it, but they don't know him. And Jesus told the Sadducees, you do err because you do not know the scripture nor the power. The reason they don't know the power is they don't have any revelation of the scripture. See, when I have the revelation... Talk to me. Say, when I have the revelation, I know I have the power. So now you just need to follow the instruction, what he shows you to do. When he says, remove the stone, you need to say, yes, sir.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, But if you told me to remove the stone, that's the instruction, I'm going to obey. Why? Because the power is not in me, the power is in you. I just am now giving you access by authority to demonstrate. When he says, call your boss or call your neighbor and pray with them. I don't want to pray with them. I've hated them. They've been so mean. God says, take something over there and be nice to them. I don't want to do that. You don't understand what God's doing because he knows what's going on in their life. And he'll bring you in the right point to lead them to the Lord. Why? Because God, and only God knows some stuff that you have no idea. That's why you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct. Quit copying the world. Quit copying the church world. Quit copying the person sitting behind you. Follow Jesus. Well, I'm trying to be just like them. No, if you listen, you can follow what they did but not get what they have. You don't know. There are too many moving parts in this. If you follow that map, that's like going, if you're starting in Florida and they're starting in California, you're both trying to get to St. Louis, you know what happens? Somebody's going to be in the water if you follow the exact. All you need to do is go west. Well, how do you know where you're at? Maybe you need to go east. I don't know, but the destination, do you see my point?
Yes.
Follow your walk with God, the Word of God, and let him guide and direct you. And it'll take the weight off you because once you have the revelation, now you have confidence, you have the power. Now you're ready to charge the giant. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap in the next 30 seconds. We're done. Your roar is revealed from God's word. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking if you join the church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ? And the way you process and the way you experience and the way you understand and the way you relate, is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know for yourself he's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. If he's not, he can be. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Good people don't go to heaven, only forgiven people. This is your chance today if you don't know him, or maybe you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. This is your day. You can lay your head on your pillow tonight and wake up in the morning knowing that you are right with God. You say, Pastor, I want to know. I want to be saved. Then I want to encourage you. Follow this prayer. Let it come from your heart. Say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up my heart, my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, just so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I just want you to lift your hands. You're like, oh, Pastor, I don't like lifting my hand in front of people. Well, if you can't lift your hand while people are celebrating, what are you going to do when you're out in the world and then the devil's trying to get people to discourage you and to do things you shouldn't? We need some tenacity in the house of God.
Amen.
And the children of God. So at the count of three, I'm going to ask you, not raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to take it up in next level. I want you to spit in the devil's eye and let him know that he no longer has a right in your life. You don't belong to him, you belong to Jesus, and that you're going to serve him. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you are shy, that's okay. But you'll be glad you did. Some of you are bold, be quick to encourage those who are shy. But we're going to pray over you and speak a blessing over your life after you stand. Count of three. Are you ready? Whoever prayed that prayer, number one, the count of three. Number two, number three, standing for you right now in the name of Jesus. Who prayed that prayer? Amen. Thank God. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Four. Five. God bless you. Hallelujah. Come on, keep clapping, church. Hallelujah. Five in the back. They said five in the coffee house. Hallelujah. Stay standing. Stretch your hands toward them. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for what you've done in their life. We seal them with the precious blood of Jesus. We sanctify them, set them apart. And according to your word, I ask you to strengthen them with mind and their inner spirit person by your Holy Spirit. Give them a tenacity, a strength, almost a spiritual stubbornness to serve you and to reject the enemy in his ways. We thank you for victory. Any tactic, plan, device that the devil used against them so far, I speak authority over it. I crush it. Any relationship that has been set to hinder or harm them in their walk with you, we ask you to sever it. Father God, bring the right people on their path. We set them free. I thank you, Father God, in every area. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. Give them a hand clap.